إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue with the khutbah from last Jum'ah, which was about the six rights of the Quran al-Kareem. The Quran, the Kalam of Allah, the Quran, the book on which our whole religion is based, the Quran, which is the Kalam of Allah, which was revealed to His last and final messenger, after whom there is no Nabi and there is no Rasul, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the direct word of Allah, it is the speech of Allah, it is not a created thing, it is the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is one of His attributes. And it is the closest that we can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life, by reading the Quran, by understanding the Quran. So the Quran comes with certain rights, and it comes with six rights that must be fulfilled. As I mentioned last Jum'ah, the issue with rights is that if there is a right of somebody on us and we do not fulfill this right, then we become punishable for that. And therefore it is very important for us to understand what are the rights of the Quran and to do our best to fulfill them. Last Jum'ah we spoke about two of them. The first one, that we believe in the Kalam of Allah. And I explained in detail what exactly is meant by believing in the Quran. And the second right of the Quran is that we honor it. And I explained that also in detail as to what is meant by honoring the Quran. Today we will deal with two other rights, the third and the fourth one, that we read it and we understand it. And next Jum'ah inshallah we will complete this lecture on the six rights of the Quran. So the third right of the Quran is that we read it. And that we read it in a manner that befits its high status. I want to remind myself and you that the Quran is the closest that we can approach our Rabb in this life. And let us ensure that we are aware of this when we are reading it and listening to it. There is a lecture I did just now, just before Ramadan, called Introduction to Tilawat of the Quran, which is there on YouTube. Please watch that, because I have explained this whole issue in detail about what is the meaning of understanding, of getting a sense, an ihsas of what is it you are doing. Because the problem is that we do things without understanding what we are doing, and therefore at best we lose the benefit, and at worst we can actually commit something wrong in relation to that thing. So it is very important for us to be aware of what we are doing and to do it with a understanding of that. For example, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this deen so easy. We know that for a son or a daughter to simply look at their father or mother, just look at them, just simply look at them with love and with honor, and with this understanding that you are doing this because this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the reward for one hajj. You have not done anything yet, you have not even said salam yet. You are then going to say salam, you are then going to do some khidmat or whatever. You're just talking about just looking at your father or your mother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that is one hajj per day. You look at them a million times, it is 1 million hajj inshallah. Because there is no shortage in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes? But if you just glance, you don't know, you are not even aware. You're just looking at your father passing, he is passing by, right? Khalas. Somebody has passed by, he also passed by. There's no sense, no awareness, what is it I am doing? You're still looking at your father, you're not seeing somebody else. But then obviously there is no reward for that, because it is something which is done without any realization of what we are doing. The same way, it is very important for us, before we even start the recitation of the Quran, before we even start reading the Quran, to ask ourselves and say, what exactly am I doing? Can I be aware of that? What am I doing just now? All of these are the issues of tarbiyah, which unfortunately has been thrown out of the window in our whole process of upbringing, whether it is in our homes, whether it is in our schools, or whether it is in our jamiat or madaris or anywhere. The student comes for hifz, you make him sit down and you say, okay, start. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Does anyone ever ask him, sit here, tell me you are holding this book in your hand, what are you holding in your hand? What are you doing? He says, I'm reading the Quran. What does it mean, reading the Quran? What is the Quran? Does anyone ever ask this question? I mean, there are many. I mean, I went to madrasa myself. Many of you have gone to madaris. Just ask this. Has anyone ever asked this question? And why not? And that is the reason why we produce huffaz who recite without any feeling whatsoever. Like pressing a button. And you press stop, you press pause and he pauses, you press stop and he stops, and you press play and he plays. Khalas. No difference. So the first and foremost requirement is to read the Quran in a way that suits the majesty and grace of the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing is ask yourself, what am I doing? And as I said, watch that lecture. I don't want to go into all that detail here. There is a lecture on YouTube, so take a look at that. Why must you have this sense of awe and sense of majesty with regard to the reading of the Quran? Because of the hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, read the Quran, read it every day, and try and read it at the same time every day. You can read it at any time, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, try and read it at the same time every day. He said, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits for the recitation of the slave. And when the slave comes online, online is my word, Rasulullah didn't say online. I'm saying it because you understand online. And he said, when that recitation comes online, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws the attention of the people surrounding him. Who are the people surrounding him? The malaikal muqarrabun. This is echoing, boss. The malaikal muqarrabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws their attention and mentions the slave by name. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, listen to so and so who is reciting the Quran. Listen to Nabhan Mahmood. Listen to... Listen to Aman. Listen to Nabhan. Listen to Mushtaq bhai. Yeah? Mushtaq Lumina, listen to him. Seriously. Fadhkuruni azkurkum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you mention me, I will mention you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam quoted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when my slave mentions me, I mention him. When he mentions me inside himself, in his heart, I mention him inside myself. When my slave mentions me in a gathering, I mention him in my gathering, and my gathering is superior to his gathering. And we haven't even begun reciting. Yet imagine this. This is the way to teach the Quran. We haven't even started reciting. We are still talking about the way of reciting. We are still talking about how to approach it. The Quran is not any book. The Kalam of Allah is not some shayari of this shayar or the philosophy of this philosopher. The Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the speech of the one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who created me and the one who created you. He is speaking to us and we are listening. Do it with that awareness. My brothers and sisters, what greater honor is there than to be mentioned by Allah by name? Think about that. You know, some newspaper writes a paragraph about you and your name is mentioned and 20 people will call you from all over the world. Your name came in this newspaper. Somebody mentioned you in the newspaper. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning you and me on the arsh? And who is listening when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking your name and taking my name? Who is listening? Jibreel is listening. Mikael is listening. Israfil is listening. The malaika al-muqarrabun are listening. The hamalini arsh are listening. Ajeeb, eh? But we have no sense of that. No sense of that. Just pick up the book, open it, read it, put it down, khalas. What a loss. So read the Quran. Read the Quran with the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to what I am reading. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to His kalam. Read the kalam and make tawbah for the mistakes that we make when we read. Because we do not do justice to the kalam of Allah. But we do our best. A sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if I am not mistaken, it was Sayyidina Usaid radiallahu anhu, who was reading tahajjud, he was praying tahajjud and he was reciting the kalam of Allah, and it is mustahab in tahajjud to read aloud, not loudly, but to read aloud in an audible way. And he was camped outside and his horse was tied near him where he was praying, and his small child was sleeping next to him. And Usaid radiallahu anhu was reading the Quran, he was reciting the kalam of Allah. And he saw a cloud descend, and in the cloud was sparkling lights. And the horse saw that, and the horse started bucking. So Usaid radiallahu anhu was afraid that the horse might kick his son, who was lying next to him, was sleeping there. So he shortened his recitation and he finished. And he went running to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, I was reading the Quran and I saw this cloud descending and there were lights shining in the cloud. And my horse started bucking, so I shortened my recitation. But what was this thing I saw?" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That was Malaika who had come down to listen to your recitation." And he said, "If you had continued to recite, the whole of Medina would have seen the Malaika." So what is our recitation compared to the recitation of those who the Malaika used to descend to listen to? My brothers and sisters, let us get the awe and majesty of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. And let us love to listen to the Quran. I have said this before, the kalam of Allah is the spoken word. The Quran was revealed as the spoken word, not as the written word. Jibreel alayhi salam did not come with a piece of paper. He came and recited. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard that recitation. And he memorized that recitation and he recited. And the Sahaba heard that recitation. And then it was written down and then it was memorized. And that's the reason why, if you read the seerah of the Sahaba, if you read the biographies of the Sahaba, you will hear innumerable stories where the Sahaba said that Islam entered my heart. I heard the recitation, I heard the Quran, and Islam entered my heart. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said that in the court of Kisra, in the court of Qaisar of Rome. He said, "Islam entered my heart when Heraclius, the Caesar of Rome, finished the questioning with me." He said, "Islam entered my heart." At that time, he was not Muslim. He had not accepted Islam. He accepted Islam much later, after Fatah Makkah. But he said, "Islam entered my heart." Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu goes out specifically with the stated intention of killing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah, with a sword in his hand, and he listens to the recitation of the kalam of Allah. And Islam enters his heart. People who were the enemies of Allah, they heard the kalam of Allah and Islam entered their heart. I ask myself, how is it that we listen to the Quran day in and day out and Islam does not enter our heart? Because there are signs of Islam entering the heart. I am not accusing anybody. I am not casting blame on anybody. I am just saying, examine ourselves. Let me examine myself. You examine yourself. There are signs of Islam entering the heart. And these signs are not something that I invented. These signs are stated in the biographies of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. What was Umar ibn al-Khattab before Islam entered his heart? And what was Umar ibn al-Khattab after Islam entered his heart? Was there a difference or there was no difference? That is the sign of Islam entering the heart. What was Abu Sufyan before Islam entered his heart, and what was Abu Sufyan after Islam entered his heart? Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, his permanent job was to give talks to the army of the Muslims before they went into battle, urging them to fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is doing this? Enemy number one of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the leader of the Quraysh, the head of the people, whose stated objective was to wipe out the message of Islam. Let us look into ourselves and say, if I say that Islam has entered my heart, then what are the signs in my life to show that Islam has actually entered my heart? And obviously the converse is true. If Islam has not entered my heart, then I better do something about it, because when the time comes to answer, this tongue will get locked up and it's the body which will answer. So let us recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the power and majesty of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us the adab, the rules, the manners of reciting his kalam. And the first of them is that he ordered us to seek the protection, to seek his protection from shaitan. In Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِذَا قَرَأَتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَئِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So to recite the Quran, we must say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This is one of the big mistakes that people make even while reciting in Salah. They do not say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ when they are reading Surah Al-Fatiha. After you recite Salah, you must say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. And then you start with Bismillah, which is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. You don't have to say it aloud, but you must say it. If you have not said it, then you have not fulfilled the right of the Quran in Salah itself. And if you do not say Bismillah before Surah Al-Fatiha, then your Surah Al-Fatiha itself is not complete, which means the Salah is invalid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, second of the rules and manners of reciting the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to be silent and to listen attentively. In Surah Al-Araf, and this ayah comes again in a different place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Araf, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِيتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Two things. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِيتُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the Quran is recited, listen to it attentively and be silent, so that you may receive mercy. And that is why, for the musalleen, for people who are praying behind the imam, it is prohibited to read from the mushaf when you are standing behind the imam. With Imam Abu Hanifa, with the Hanafis, your salah is invalid. You are considered to be out of salah. That salah is not valid. You think you prayed 20 rakat of Tarawih, you did not pray anything. The Imam Abu Hanifa even told the Imam that if he makes a mistake, and if somebody is looking at a mushaf and gives him the luqma, gives him the prompt, the Imam must not take the prompt, because the Imam is not authorized to take the prompt from somebody who is not praying. And the person who is standing behind the Imam with a mushaf in his hand is not praying. If you are not a Hanafi, you want the fatwa of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, all three of them said this is a reprehensible act. They did not say it nullifies the salah, but it says definitely something which is highly inadvisable not to be done. The Imam can look at the Musaf and recite. Please understand, learn the deen. The deen is not what you and I invent, and don't say I saw people doing it in the haram. I saw a man in the haram, somebody was sleeping. It was time for salah. This man came and kicked him. And he said, and the man said, come. It happened in the haram. So shall we do that? When you are sleeping, shall I come and kick you and say, well, you know, I saw this in the haram. I have seen people in the haram. There are slippers around the pillars. People have piled up their slippers. I have seen, may Allah forgive me, I have seen people coming, putting a mushaf. It is not a word of translation in it. Putting the mushaf on top of the slippers. He is reading the Quran
When the time for iqama, he puts it on top of the chappals. Happens in the haram. So shall we do that? Take the musaf and put it on top of the slippers? Just because some jahil is doing something in the haram does not make it a rule of deen. Please understand this. Don't say I saw it in the haram. There are people who have no knowledge of Islam. They are ignorant. So they do all sorts of funny things. The action of ulama is a dalil in deen, not the action of someone who does not understand Islam. So to stand behind, as we see many times, people standing behind the imam holding the Quran, doesn't happen here, but happens in many places, including haram. Wrong. And the reason I'm telling you is, if you see someone doing it, stop them, because they are losing the reward for the salah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what? What should you do? Listen attentively and be silent. Do not do anything else. If the imam makes a mistake, that is his problem. It's not your problem. Don't worry about that. Your salah is still valid, even if he makes a mistake. And in all masajid, including this one, there's always another hafiz standing behind the imam. So it's the job of the hafiz, he will correct the imam. It's not your problem. You pay attention to the recitation, because that is the adab of the Quran. And do not do anything which is against the adab of the Quran. The third rule is to read the Quran keeping in mind the rules of recitation, which is called the tajweed of the Quran. The Quran is not something that is meant to be read in any way we like. It has to be read in a particular way. And the reason for that is that the Arabic language is so sensitive that if you mispronounce a word, in some cases it makes the word complete nonsense. It has no meaning now because of the way you pronounced it. Or in other cases, it completely changes the meaning of the word. Now in some cases, if it changes the meaning of the word, it can render your salah invalid. If you are the imam and you have recited it like that, not only is your salah invalid, but the salah of everyone behind you who is praying is invalid. And you must repeat that salah. Doesn't happen in every case, but in certain cases it happens. And that's the reason why it is very important to understand the rules of tajweed. And please understand, in tajweed, if you elongate in a place where there is no elongation, it makes it a plural. If you do not elongate in a place where there is an elongation, it makes it a singular. The meaning is changing. The meaning is changing. In some cases, that can result in invalidating the salah. Tajweed has two issues. Some issues related to the rules of what you elongate and what you do not elongate, and so on and so forth. But tajweed also has to do with how we pronounce things. Now, how we pronounce is influenced by our mother tongues, by with the languages we speak. For example, Egyptians, the way they speak Arabic in Egypt, there is no ja. Instead of ja, they say ga. So instead of Jannah, they say ganna. So, jokingly, we say to people, Kullu Muslimin fi Jannah wa Masriyin fi Ganna. You say, all Muslims will be in Jannah and the people from Masr will be in Ganna. Now, with us, since I see a lot of you laughing, let me give you some good news from yourself. For us, we have big problems with Qaf. So, instead of saying Qal Allah, we say Khal Allah. Now, Qal means said. Khala is your mother's sister. Yes? And those of you who are now laughing some more because of your Punjabi origins, the Punjabis they have no kaf and they have no kha, they have ka. So they say kala. So they read hadith, they say kala Rasulallah. Na'udhu billah, all of you are now. Please understand. I'm not joking, I'm just saying this is what we do. Kala Allah, Kala Rasulullah, Kala Allah, Kala Rasulullah. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Allah did not say Kala, he didn't say Kala. He said Kala. Qaf. So please understand. We have to practice. Learn the rules and practice. Alhamdulillah, we have tajweed classes currently running in this masjid after Asr every day. Marana Mufti Muhammad Azam is teaching the class. Please come, take advantage of that. There's no money. As you know, we don't charge anybody for anything here. So please come and sit there, listen, take the lessons, learn how to read the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly.
And there is a power and there is a majesty in the recitation of the kalam itself. Even if you don't understand it, and we'll come to the understanding, I'm not by any means letting us go on that. We must recite like that. Final issue on this is the fast recitation in Taraweeh. My brothers and sisters, this is a very major sin. And may Allah forgive us. A sin in which the Imam and the Muqtadeen, and in some cases, the people following the Imam are more responsible for that sin. Why is it a sin? Because of your pressure. Either because of your pressure, because the Imam takes a salary from you, therefore he is afraid of you. Or because there is a market for that kind of recitation, so therefore people come and they get paid for it, so therefore they do this. Finish the Quran in 5 days, finish the Quran in 3 days, finish the Quran in one night, and so on. Even when they don't do that, they still recite very fast. Why? Because there is a market for it, because nobody objects, because you like to go to such places, because you want to go home half an hour early. And you don't care what mutilation happens to the Quran in the process. And you don't care how the kalam of Allah is treated in the process. And as I told you, there is no way on earth that imam who is reciting fast, if he is going beyond a certain speed, there is no way on earth that he can keep to the rules of tajweed. Which means that he is deliberately misreciting the kalam of Allah. Now you decide how big a sin that is. As I've said many times before, if you are in a hurry to go home, if you've got some pain, some darura, read 2 rakat, read 4, read 8, go home and go to sleep. Alhamdulillah, that is good for you. No problem, absolutely. Inshallah, if it is a darura and you make the niyyah and you make tawakkul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe Allah will give you the reward for all the 20 rakat. Who am I to object? I'm not objecting. Let Allah give you the reward for 200 million rakat. What do I care? It doesn't come out of my pocket. But if you don't do that, and if you say, 20 rakat padana, aadhe ghante mein padana, 45 minute mein padana, 20 rakat of Taraweeh is finished in 45 minutes in this city. We know this. That is half a minute per rakat or something like this. Half a minute, 30 seconds, one rakat is khalas. 2 minutes. 20, 40 is 2 minutes. 2 minutes. What is that? This is recitation of the Quran. And we are responsible because we are creating a market for that. We are not stopping the imams from reciting fast. We are pressurizing them to recite fast. And remember, my brothers and sisters, may Allah not bring this on you and me. But it is possible that one of us or more of us, on the day of judgment, we will be standing and we will see our scales. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. On that day, we will see our scales and we will understand the weight of 1 minute of listening to the recitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. And on that day, you will cry tears of blood. That instead of gaining that reward just by standing behind the imam and doing nothing, you chose not only not to gain the reward, but you chose to earn sins in the process by forcing the imam to recite fast because you wanted to finish 15 minutes earlier. That 15 minutes on your scale on the day of judgment can spell the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. Value it today, because on the day of judgment, those tears of blood will get us nothing. Today, we don't have to shed any tears whatsoever. All we need to do is listen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Fastami'u wa ansitu. Listen carefully and attentively and be silent. If you get tired, sit down. No problem. But do not force imams to recite fast. Those imams should have the courage to disobey you. But may Allah forgive us. You put them in a situation where they don't disobey you and they obey you knowing that what they are doing is wrong. I remind myself and you, not to use Ramadan to earn sins. Let us use Ramadan to earn hasanat. It is essential for the ulama to warn the people against this major deviation in religion, which has not only crept in but has become the norm among Indian and Pakistani and Bangladeshi subcontinent imams and huffaz. This is the norm, be it in India or be it in any of the masajids across the world where the imams are from the subcontinent. The norm is that they recite fast. The norm is that they pay no attention to tajweed. The norm is that they mutilate the Quran. Please do not allow that to happen. It is your responsibility. And if we don't do this, if we do not treat the Quran in this way and we do not respect it, then be warned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will complain against you and me on the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Furqan, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّا قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the messenger will say, oh my Rabb, verily my people deserted this Quran. Do we want the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or do we want him to be the complainant against us? Please make up your mind. The last matter is to which relates, as I said before, to our own recitation. One is the imam's recitation, one is our own recitation. We spend our whole life. Subhanallah, some people, may Allah forgive us, age 50, age 60, age 70, you tell him to recite the Quran and he reads it word by word. Jo Urdu mein bolte hain, hijja karke padte. If he read an English book like that, he will die of shame, his father will die of shame, his mother will die of shame, right? But to read the Quran, neither he feels shame, nor his parents feel shame, nor anybody feels shame. We mispronounce, we hesitate. There's no difference in recitation from the time we were 5 years old to the time we were 50 years old. We must make the effort to learn tajweed. Takes very little effort to learn the rules. As I've said many times before, it doesn't take more than about 15 days. But you have to practice. You have to practice. The fourth right of the Quran is that we understand it. Now, brothers and sisters, essentially, there should be no reason to say this. There should be no reason whatsoever for me or anyone else to say that we should understand what we are reading. Do you agree or you don't agree? If you are reading any book, supposing you pick up any book, your college textbook or some storybook or something, and I see you sitting there in a position, book is opened and you are looking at the book and you are reading this book, do I need to tell you that, do you understand what you are reading? Do I need to ask you this question or alert you that you should understand what you, do I need to say that with any book? Supposing you are reading a book and I tell you, do you understand what you are reading? What will you feel? What will you think? You will think one of two things. You will think either that I am referring to some exalted meaning of what I am reading which may not have occurred to me yet. Maybe there is some higher meaning to this thing and therefore I am saying, do you understand what you are reading? Yes? Or you will think I am insulting you. Hai nahi hai? आप किताब पढ़ रहे हैं, मैं आपको पूछता आप क्या पढ़ रहे हैं, समझ रहे हैं क्या, बोलते तो आप क्या बोलते हैं? या तो उसके माने कुछ ऐसे आला माने हैं जो कि मैं नहीं समझ रहा हूं, तो आप मेरे को बोलने वाले हैं, या नहीं तो आप बोलते क्या? मैं क्या बेवकूफ हूं? आप जो कल के पूछ रहे हैं, समझ रहे क्या? नहीं समझ रहे क्या? खाली घूर लेते बैठा हूं, बोलते नहीं बोलते? तो आप कुरान को घूर लेते बैठते उसका क्या करेंगे? बा Please tell me, in any language, read means what? Supposing German is written in the same script as English, right? So supposing I pick up a German newspaper from somewhere and I read the headlines. Maybe I mispronounce one or two words because of the way and so forth, but by and large I read the headline. So what will you ask me? You will say, alright, what does it say? So I have no clue. No idea. तो आप क्या बोलते मेरे को, अरे अभी पढ़े ना यार, you just read, no? Yeah, I read, but I have no idea what it says. Then what will you say? You will say, well, you know what? Whatever you did, you didn't read. Because read does not mean to look at the letter, the shape of the letter, and make some noise with your mouth. This is not reading. If the letter is one horizontal line, I say A. If the letter is a vertical line, I say A. If the letter is a horizontal line with a dot under it, I say Ba. If the letter is a horizontal line with three dots in its belly, I say Tha. If the letter, it looks like an inverted S, opposite of an S, and it has a dot in its belly, I say Ja. Is this reading? I am merely recognizing the shape of the letter and I am making some sound with my mouth. Yes, you agree or you don't agree? And that is why there is no word in English or Urdu or anything, any language that I know, there is no word to describe this kind of action, which is to, by character recognition, to make some sounds with your mouth. Is there a word in the language? Can somebody find me a word, one word? Because read means to understand, so obviously it's not read. So what is it? Is there a word in the language? Because this is inconceivable. It is something that is impossible. Nobody can do that except Muslims to the Quran. We are amazing people. Yeah, we can do something which no one else in the world can do. We can actually look. That's why the Arabs are very surprised. Huh? In the haram, sometimes when you are sitting, they ask you to read. When you read, they say, what do you mean? And then after you read the Quran, then they speak to you in Arabic. And you don't know, you say, I'm sorry, I don't know Arabic. You say, how do you know? You just read the Quran. What do you mean you don't know Arabic? You just read the Quran. Some of them are very genuinely surprised. How do you say you don't know Arabic when you just read Arabic? He said, no, I did not read Arabic. I read some shapes. I made some noises. Seriously, my brothers and sisters, wake up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكُرُكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, we have sent upon you a book in which you are mentioned. In which you are mentioned with honor. Tell me, we have no desire in our hearts to see where we are mentioned? You don't want to know? You're not interested? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have sent this book to you, I have mentioned you. Are we not interested to know where we have been mentioned? In what words we have been mentioned? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promise when He mentioned us? We don't want to know. Not interested, yeah? We are happy with the translation of this and translation of that. Please understand, the translation is the kalam of the translator. It is not the kalam of Allah. And that's the reason why the Quran can make a mountain shiver to dust, but it does not do anything to us. It doesn't do anything to us. What was the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited this ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah, which we heard in this masjid 2 days ago, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the words of Isa alayhi salam after the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, the conversation of Isa alayhi salam with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the end, Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quoted Isa alayhi salam, this is what he will say. And Ajib, the kalam of Allah. Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quoted and he said, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. Isa alayhi salam said, I just recited the Arabic for you. Let me tell you the translation and see what a world of difference between the two in terms of listening. Isa alayhi salam said, if you punish them, they are your slaves. And if you forgive them, verily only you are the Almighty and All-Wise. This is what the translation sounds like. Keep the meaning in your mind, because I'm going to tell you something a little later. But see what the Arabic sounds like again.
إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم.
فرق يعني Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this ayah. He was praying tahajjud. He came to this ayah and he repeated this ayah and he repeated this ayah and he repeated this ayah the whole night until Salatul Fajr. That was the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One ayah he repeated the whole night. Ajib. And if you are Imam in Tarawih, you repeat something more than 3 or 4 times, you will slaughter him. Why? Because it makes no sense. It makes no sense. But imagine, what is Allah saying? In tu'azibhum fa innahum ibaduk. Imagine. This is the Rasul of Allah, about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he is the ayat of Allah. The entire existence of Isa alayhi salam is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His whole life is a miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the Nabi about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there are only two people who the shaitan did not touch at the time of their birth, and that is Isa and Umm Isa. He said Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Isa. The shaitan did not, Allah protected them. The shaitan never touched them. And that Nabi, see the words, in tu'adzibhum fa innahum ibaduk. See the humility, the humbleness, the helplessness of that Nabi who is standing before Allah Jalla wa'ala. And he says, Oh Allah, they are your slaves. They are your creatures. You want to throw them into the hellfire. There's nobody who can stop you. You want to give them adab. Nothing can be done. No one can stop you. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ And oh Allah, if you forgive them, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Oh Allah, you have all might and all power and all knowledge and all hikmah. This one ayah is tarbiyah in tawbah. But I challenge you will not understand this, and it will not have an effect on you till the day of judgment unless you understand it in Arabic. Unless you understand that in Arabic. In tu'adzibhum fa innahum ibaduk. Where is anyone going to get the power of that words? Power of those words. I can repeat this, the English translation or the Urdu translation or the Tamil or the Malayalam or whatever translation. I can repeat that from now till tomorrow morning. It will not bring one tear to your eyes. But just that one word brings tears to the eyes of those who understand. Of course, those who don't understand, it's noise. Please don't do this to yourself. Do not do this to yourself. The kalam of Allah is in our hands. Value it. Enjoy it. Connect to it. Take power from it. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't they reflect on the Quran? Or is it that their hearts are locked? I know the asbab and nuzul of this ayah did not come for the Muslims. It came for the people who had not entered Islam. But let us ask ourselves, are we today in a situation where maybe this ayah would have come for us? Because we don't understand the Quran. We do not understand the Quran. Now, brothers and sisters, I advise myself and you, learn Arabic language. And until we learn Arabic language, read the translation of the Quran. Before you go for Taraweeh every night, read the translation of what is going to be recited that evening. It will add to the quality of your salah. You will enjoy hearing what the Imam is saying. And those of us who speak Urdu, alhamdulillah, we have an advantage. There are 900 words of Urdu in Arabic. Actually, I should say the opposite, because Arabic came long before Urdu. There are 900 common words between Urdu and Arabic. So if you pay attention to what the Imam is saying, even though you do not know Arabic, and you have read the meanings of those ayats before you came to the salah, believe me, inshallah, you will understand overall what is going on. And that will give you khushu and khudu in your salah. That will give you concentration and dedication in your salah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and open our hearts to His kalam. Because who is more worthy of pity, and who is more unfortunate and unlucky than a person who is sitting on a treasure, who has a treasure that he is holding in his hands, and he is begging in the world, in the street, he is begging like a beggar, asking this one and that one for knowledge, and this one and that one for help, when he is sitting with a treasure in his lap. Who is more unfortunate and foolish than that person? And we don't want to be such people. We want to be people who have this treasure, and this treasure came, and inshallah next Jummah we'll talk about that. This treasure did not come for us to sit with it. The treasure came for us to distribute it among the population of the whole world. But how can we distribute the treasure when we don't understand the treasure ourselves? The treasure is locked even to ourselves. How can we open the lock for other people? So the first thing, it has to start with ourselves. Open the lock for yourself. And as I told you, it is very easy. And do not let a time come when we have to stand before Allah and then we regret, I wish I had done this. Absolutely of no use whatsoever at that time. But today, if we take heed and we learn, inshallah, this will be the source of our najah, the source of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the source of great honor and glory in this world, and inshallah, the source of maghfirah on the Day of Judgment. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.